Chapter 11 Orbs. Tom and Ellen Gorman stood outside their homestead, looking west. It was evening. The summer was coming, and the chill of the winter air was no longer apparent. Both were stressed. They watched their cattle grazing several hundred yards away on the lush pasture, and just to the south, three of their horses munched on the grass. Tom could tell there was something wrong. The cattle and the horses were restless. Tom was the first to see it, as he was quick to notice anything slightly out of place. He stiffened. A blue orb was flying in the tree line next to his horses. He felt Ellen beside him tensing as she too saw it. The intense blue light cast by the object was easily visible as it flew through the trees. They both watched as it emerged from the tree line and slowly flew around the head of one of the horses. The horse noticed it too, and impatiently shook his head as if trying to rid a swarm of flies. The darting orb was close enough to illuminate the animal in an eerie, bright blue glow. Tom was puzzled by the fact the horse never registered alarm. Normally, the blue orbs caused extreme stress in animals. Suddenly, the blue object darted away from the horses and, with astonishing speed, moved closer to the Gormans. It stopped abruptly in midair about 15 feet above the ground and hovered silently about 20 feet from them. This was easily the best view they ever had of the elusive blue orbs. They watched, fascinated, as the object hung in the air, apparently defying the laws of gravity. The exterior of the orb was a clear, hard shell, not unlike glass. It was maybe 2 or 3 times the size of a baseball. And inside the glass-like exterior moved a swirling, intensely blue substance. It seemed to Tom like a liquid beginning to boil, a nearly bubbling, incandescent blue fluid. He could hear a faint crackling sound from the object, like static electricity sometimes makes. As Tom watched this amazing spectacle, the hair on the back of his neck rose. He could feel a wave of deep, naked fear washing over him. He felt paralyzed with the deepest, most visceral fear he had ever known. It was overwhelming. Wild animals had trapped Tom. He had been close to death, but he had never felt anything like the intensity of the terror he felt now. He knew Ellen was feeling the same because she had begun to hyperventilate. She gasped deeply and her body had begun to shake. Tom felt like he was going to have a seizure. Suddenly, Ellen, who was whimpering with terror, turned on her flashlight. The effect was instantaneous. The blue orb darted abruptly into the branches of the nearby tree as if trying to avoid the flashlight's beam. It maneuvered effortlessly through the branches at high speed. It was obvious to them that the orb was under intelligent control. Then, as abruptly as the object had darted into the trees, it suddenly shot out of sight behind their homestead. Ellen sank to her knees, weeping. Tom also felt weak. His legs could barely hold him. But the overwhelming, paralyzing terror he had felt had vanished. It was like a switch had been abruptly thrown. The after effects of that bolt of adrenaline were obvious. Perspiration poured from his body, and his legs and arms began shaking violently. He, too, sank to his knees and put his arms around his violently trembling wife. She continued weeping. He felt helpless to comfort her and could not manage a reassuring word. As his shaking subsided, he felt only numbness inside. He also felt relief and puzzlement. How could that orb have provoked such abject terror in both of them? Tom knew that the fear he had felt was artificial. It had not been a normal response for him. He guessed that this bright blue orb had deliberately manipulated his emotions. How could this be? He wondered. Ellen buried her face in his chest, saying over and over, "We have to leave this place. We have to leave this place." He nodded absently. He knew that his wife was nearing her breaking point. More than a year of relentless psychological warfare by a technology that seemed capable of anticipating their responses even before they reacted had begun taking a deep toll on her, and he knew his children. 2 hours later, Tom and Ellen were in the living room, recovering, but exhausted and emotionally spent. Out of the corner of his eye, Tom noticed the signature blue glow outside the window. He stiffened. Ellen gasped in alarm. Both of them watched as it moved slowly past their window, flying lazily. The lights in the living room dimmed as the blue orb flew past, leaving a murky yellow glow inside the house. As the incandescent blue sphere traversed the end of their homestead, the lights inside the house brightened again as if on a dimmer switch. But there were no dimmer switches in their home. They both rushed to the front door in time to see the blue glow floating lazily over the ridge about 100 yards away. Their bright yard light had also dimmed as the orb moved past, and it gradually regained its normal brightness. Neither of them slept much that night. Ellen cried a lot. The mysterious events were happening thick and fast against a backdrop of the continuing disappearance of objects both inside and outside the house. Tom eventually found his missing post digger. The only trouble was, he found it perched 20 feet up a tree. It would have taken somebody of great strength to lift a 70-pound post digger up into a tree. The mysteries deepened. By the end of June 1996, stories and rumors had begun circulating about weird events taking place at a remote ranch in northeastern Utah. Tom groaned. It was only a matter of time before the media got involved and the family's much-prized privacy would be history. One day, shortly afterward, as if to confirm their fears, Tom and his son Tad watched a vehicle drive slowly from the entrance gate all the way down to the homestead. As the bouncing vehicle approached, Tom could see a large, blonde-haired man at the wheel. Hiding his annoyance, Tom nodded as the stranger dismounted from the vehicle. The guy was broad-shouldered and over 6'2". It did not take him long to dispose of the pleasantries. The stranger explained that he had learned about the bizarre events on the property, on the grapevine, and had driven a long distance to visit. Tom interrupted to reiterate that this was private property and that neither he nor his family were interested in developing the land as a tourist attraction. The stranger was insistent, even pleading. All he wanted to do, he explained, was to go onto the property and meditate. Tom could see his son grinning to himself, and eventually, half in amusement at the bizarre request, Tom relented. The three of them piled into Tom's diesel truck and headed down into the ranch. After about a mile, the stranger announced that he would like to meditate here, near a small pasture surrounded by trees. The stranger walked into the middle of the open ground, about 100 yards from the tree line. Tom walked with him a short distance and then stood watching. He glanced back at his still grinning son, who had elected to stay by the truck. Tom was about 30 yards from the stranger, who had closed his eyes and, in a faintly religious gesture, had spread both his arms out. Tom was amused. Silence reigned, and the late afternoon sun cast a beautiful light on the scene. This tall blonde man standing silently in the middle of the pasture with his eyes closed and his arms raised, much like the pose struck by saints and angels in religious paintings. In the distance, Tom heard the sudden chime of a cowbell. He was puzzled. None of his animals had cowbells. The sound seemed to be coming from deep within the trees. There it was again, nearer this time. The stranger seemed not to have heard it. Tad made a gesture of puzzlement. Tom looked at the trees and thought he could see a faint blur. Something was moving very quickly between the trees. Tom could not make out the shape, but he knew it was big. Was that the source of the cowbell sound? He watched carefully as the shape moved like a fast blur from tree to tree. It was almost as if it was circling. Tom suddenly felt uneasy. Without warning, something broke from the tree line and moved swiftly toward the meditating man. Tom blinked. He still couldn't see what it was, even though it was broad daylight. It was blurred as if it was hidden in the middle of heat distortion, and it was covering ground at enormous speed. Gorman realized that this chimera was making a beeline for the blissful meditator, who was completely unaware of what was rapidly bearing down on him. Tom was about to yell a warning, but it was too late. The shimmering, wraith-like huge thing had stopped just inches from the meditator as it let out a deep-throated animal roar that echoed around the ranch. The roar sounded half like a bear, half like a lion. Tom froze. The stranger leaped back about 10 feet and fell down. He began screaming. As fast as it had approached, the shimmering, almost invisible creature departed for the tree line at top speed. Tom's sharp eyes could make out only a blur of dancing, flickering, wavy lines like pixelated blocks. Within seconds, the creature had vanished into the trees. The visitor was on the ground, still screaming hysterically, and Tom hurried over to make sure he had not been injured. Suddenly, the stranger jumped up and threw his arms around Tom, weeping like a baby. He was obviously out of his mind with fear. Tom struggled to extricate himself, but the guy was big and he was possessed of a strength born of blind panic. He simply would not let go. After a few minutes, Tom said quietly, "If you do not let go, I am going to hit you." "I will let go if you promise to get me to my vehicle," the stranger babbled. His ruddy face had turned chalk white, and it was obvious he felt the fear of God. Slowly, with the man still hanging on to him, Tom made his way to the truck. His son started the engine, and Tom, with his cargo of blubbering humanity, climbed into the back seat. The stranger swore that this property was cursed and that he would never set foot on it again. Of that, Tom was thankful. They watched as the stranger drove erratically toward the gate. He was driving dangerously fast on the rutted track, and Tom hoped he would slow down once he got on the country road. Tad was still shaken. That roar had penetrated to the very core of their being. It was like being shot with a bullet. Sometime later, as Tom and Tad were watching the movie Predator, in which Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura battle an alien life form in a jungle in Central America, they let out a loud yell when they first saw the shimmering creature. "That's what we saw," they yelled in unison to the astonished family. The predator in the movie seemed to exactly encapsulate the degree of camouflage of what they had seen. Tom calculated that the thing they saw was moving at between 50 and 60 miles per hour when it broke cover from the trees. Again, Tom wondered if his ranch had become a testing ground for advanced military equipment. Now, suddenly, the list had expanded beyond high-tech aircraft and surgical derring-do to advanced camouflage technology. But why would some kind of super-tech advanced vehicle emit a roar? Was it possible that a creature could have advanced camouflage capabilities, like a chameleon taken to the next level? Tom refused to dwell too deeply on what that creature might do if it decided to harm his family. He already knew what the creature was capable of. On one April evening in 1996, Tom sat outside, looking west and trying to relax. The beauty of this property was undeniable, yet the family was feeling overwhelmed by the stress caused by the strange phenomena. His three dogs sat contentedly beside him. Tom was grateful for such loyal dogs. All three were healers. They were gentle with the family, but absolutely ruthless with strangers. They were also aggressive cattle dogs. The cattle knew when to obey these animals, and he could rely on them to defend his valuable, artificially inseminated breeders against the numerous coyotes, raccoons, and wild dogs that moved through his property. All in all, he was feeling almost content. It had become a regular occurrence now to see a large orange something hovering slightly above the cottonwood trees about a mile west of where he sat. It did not particularly concern him, as he had seen these large orange things dozens of times before. Gorman had spent hours looking at them over time through the rifle scope that he carried with him to enhance his already superb eyesight. Very occasionally, Gorman had seen objects flying out of these orange things as if they were windows into another dimension. He had little understanding of the physics involved. All he knew was that he wished they would go away. Then he spotted an object in the distance at the far end of the pasture. The sight gave him a chill. A small flash of intense blue. Tom straightened in his chair, all pretense at relaxation gone. The dogs also took notice and began their low-pitched growls. He saw it again, and it was only 300 yards away, moving swiftly along the bottom of his pasture in a north-south direction. It was less than 10 feet off the ground. When it got to the southern end of his pasture, it abruptly turned and began flying in Tom's direction. He tensed. He could see it much more clearly now. A perfectly round, intense blue orb, bigger than a baseball and capable of very sophisticated, intelligent maneuvers. He had seen them so many times on his property before, and they usually signaled trouble. His dogs were barking. The object was now less than 100 yards away, and it had changed direction again. It was moving north, parallel to Tom's position. Without really thinking, he set his dogs loose. Usually, he kept them beside him when these things were flying around, but tonight, he lost his patience. His three dogs took off at top speed in the direction of the blue orb. It didn't seem to react to their presence until the animals got much nearer. Then it dipped down and descended until it was only a few feet off the ground, The three dogs began leaping at the object. They were snarling, with jaws snapping. Each time the animals leaped at the orb, it skillfully moved out of the way, the jaws missing sometimes only by inches. The strange ritual began to play itself out. It was apparent that the dogs were becoming incensed with this strange object that danced out of the way at the last moment but then dipped down again so that they could lunge at it again. The intense blue orb seemed to be deliberately teasing the enraged dogs. Tom was getting increasingly uneasy as the game of catch moved in the direction of a thick copse of trees a couple hundred yards to his south. He sensed that the orb seemed to be steering the dogs toward the cover. A couple of minutes later, the orb dipped to the ground and with almost languorous speed flew slowly among the trees. The snarling, eager dogs gave chase. Suddenly, Gorman heard sounds that chilled him to the bone. The unmistakable, fear-filled yelps of dogs in mortal agony. Then, an eerie silence. Nothing moved. Tom waited for his animals to return. After a couple of hours, he went into the homestead with a heavy heart. He decided not to look for them until morning. His worst fears were realized when he went down the following morning to inspect the copse of trees. A smell of burned flesh greeted his nostrils as he dipped his head beneath the low branches. 10 yards inside was a small clearing. Tears filled Tom's eyes. 3 large circles of brown, dried-out grass were in the middle of the clearing. At the center of each circle of shriveled vegetation was a blackish, greasy mess. The stink of his incinerated dogs was awful. Tom rushed out of the copse, his mouth dry and his stomach heaving. Within hours, Tom had gathered his family and finally agreed, as they had insisted, to sell the ranch. The ruthless killing of his favorite companions was the last straw for Tom, who, after fighting an unseen, unknown enemy, reluctantly surrendered. By July 1996, the family had had enough. None of them had slept well for months. Now the Gormans finally understood the weird arrangements of deadbolts they had found throughout the house a mere 20 months before. The story of the Gorman Ranch had hit the newspapers and it ricocheted around the country. It wasn't long before it caught the attention of one of the most powerful businessmen in North America and his organization, the National Institute for Discovery Science.